singing all the way around. And so we want you to take your Bible, if you will, tonight to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 15. If you find the place and you're able to stand, then do so. If not, you can just be seated like you are. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible said in verse number 33 and in verse number 34. He said, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. I want to pray with you and then preach a little while on evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, Father, bless your word to every heart. And we thank you for the good songs of Zion that we've sung together, the good special music. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us good singing talent. And Lord, we thank you and praise you. Thou art God from everlasting to everlasting, and beside thee there's none else. Save the lost, revive the saint, deal with every heart here tonight. And Lord, we'll thank you for all you've done and all you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that if you will, there's several things in the Bible that God talks about not being deceived. One of them is one of them right here. Be not deceived. And let me tell you right now, evil communications corrupt good manners. You know what that tells me is you better be careful about who you're hanging around, who you're listening to, who's influencing your life. And let me tell you that make no mistake about it, that what it is you're around and whatever it is you're involved in, it'll show up in your everyday life. Others around you can see them. You may not recognize it yourself. I don't have time to turn there, but over there in the book of Revelation, chapter number 2, chapter number 3, do you know that 7 times he repeats this? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches. You know what that means? That means you can come to the house of God and be here and yet not be here. You can be here and your mind somewhere else, and you never heard what the word of the Lord is. That's why I'm always out here watching these boys and these girls. You know, some of them, you know, that are wanting to scuttle around with this game or that game or some kind of something else that they got going. I tell you, the Word of God won't do you any good, young man or young lady, man or woman, boy or girl, if you don't let it sink into your heart and let God speak to your heart about it. One of the reasons why that sometimes that you and I show up maybe around the house and we're grouchy and snappy and cruel and rude. You thought it was just because you were an ass, but that's not it. Just the devil getting on you. Yes, see what I'm talking about? No wonder people feel bad. In this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out, make no mistake about it, over there in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11, don't turn there, but in verse number 16, I believe that it is, and he said there in the passage, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived and that you turn aside, serve other gods and worship them. In other words, if you're not on your guard, if you're not guarding and letting God guide you, it won't be long and you'll be straying away in other gods. I can tell you right now, yes, I've watched the whole congregation in days gone by, boy, when they were on revival. And then I've watched some of those same people that were the best in the revivalist position get backslidden today, many of them not even in church anywhere. Now, I mean, some of them probably need to get saved, but some of them just got some backslid on God. I don't think they'll ever find their way back till God, one of these days, they poke their head up in glory, and God doesn't say, well done, but they suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ. In this Bible lesson, the Bible said, be not deceived. Over there in Galatians chapter 6 and about verse number 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, in the day and hour that we're living in, is that you ought to be real careful. You ought to be real careful about your life and guard your heart and guard your mind and guard your mouth, and especially when you're before the heathen. You know, every now and again, somebody, you may say something around me, and it's not going to bother me too bad. Whether you ought to or not, that's immaterial. I'm not talking about that. It's not going to bother me. But pull that mess around one of these kids or a young Christian, and let me tell you, see what it does to them. See? And I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not just talking about 2 or 3 words. But let me tell you, when you take God's name in vain in front of people, that's something else. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that when you're around people that are thinking a certain way, and just to show you, I said years ago, is that one of the biggest hindrances in the world that we live in is the public school system. I mean, the devil's used the public school system to teach them how to dress, teach them how to think, teach them how to act, teach them how to have premarital sex, teach them everything that's against God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent. And let me tell you, I don't care if you go to California or all the way to the other state, wherever Florida's at, or out north or south, that you'll find that every one of them think the same and act the same and dress the same and have the same disregard for God. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, and make no mistake about it, is that you're going to find out that it's in the pulpit. Did you know the Bible said the thing that's wrong in the pulpit is that the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, and he's talking about the preacher in that particular passage, have erred from the faith. See? And they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Now, I got to tell you right now, what that tells me is money is not more important than the Word of God or you that are sitting in these pews. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking about here's what I'm looking at. You know, when you got saved, the Lord put you in the house of God. Everybody that's here tonight, if you're saved, God put you in the house of God. You may not have been saved long, but He put you in the house of God. And let me tell you, you're part of the family of God. And make no mistake about it, when you got born into the family of God, God put you into the church of the living God, and the devil's been trying to pull you out ever since. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at. And there's a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of time whenever I was preaching along there, and I was thinking about the Psalms that we preached on Sunday. He said, God said, one desire that I have, and my heart, I'll seek after Him, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a desire you can't duplicate. Amen. You're here tonight, you can tell, boy, I'm glad to be a part of the family of God, in the house of God, that's great. But if you're here tonight, or like you would be on any other Sunday morning, man, I have some other things I'd rather be doing, something's wrong down in your heart. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that the Lord has put us into the house of God, and the devil wants to pull you out. You know, sometimes he starts at you and pulls at you, and it's mental. Mentally. There's other times is that you get down physically. Now, I guarantee you right now, we've got some folks that are on their last leg, and they're hopping on it. Buddy, I want to tell you something. They've been knocked down, but they ain't been knocked out yet. And you know the reason being? I'll tell you why. God has done something in their heart whenever they trusted Him as Lord and Savior of their life. I want to say to you in the Bible over there in the book of 1 Timothy in chapter number 6 and about verse number 5, there's a passage there, and here's what he says, and you've got to answer this question for yourself. Do you want to be right, or would you just rather get rich? In 1 Timothy, the Bible says in chapter 6, listen to verse number 5 and in verse down through 14. He says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Now, why do you think you ought to get away from them kind of people? Because that kind of thinking will go to getting on you. Yes, sir. But godliness with contentment is a great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation, a snare into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. That's where it'll take you. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they erred from the faith, and they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness, and fight the good fight of faith. And lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all that is before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot and unrebukable until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you right now, the world, the flesh, the devil, this material, monetary world, and thinking that we've got, it'll pull on you, it'll pull you down, and pull you out if you're not careful. You remember over there, the Bible said in the book of Mark, don't turn there, chapter number 8 and about verse number 36. I'll tell you right now is that he looked at there, there was a man there. They were listening to Jesus do some talk. One of them all of a sudden got tired of hearing what Jesus was preaching on. And here's what he said. Would you make my brother divide his inheritance with me? I mean, here Jesus was talking about your soul going to heaven, going to hell. And here's one brother thinking the whole time, I don't know why my brother ain't giving me something, some of that money that he's got. Huh? And Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the world and lose his own soul? And then he asked, what would you give in exchange for your soul? Let me say to you that if you will, in our text tonight, that if you will, that the Bible is plastered with pages and with thoughts about getting away from God and the things of God. You know, here's what I've noticed down through the years. And it's not that I need so much preaching because I'm such a model student. You know that's a lie, don't you? If I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell right now, and you'd be there with me too. But you know, you're knocking along trying to lead your family. You've learned a few Bible passages, this and that. Not only do you practice it, you want to see your family practice it. And then one day you're all somewhere and you get contaminated and you come back and you're snappy and rude and ugly and mean. And God raises up a preacher in your house that you're married to. And when she says, you're not going to like it. Oh, well, Miss Goody Good Two Shoes holier than thou. Something, whatever it is you would say. I'm guessing that's what you would say. I've never said that to my wife. She's not had to remind me very many times. I'm really and truly, when you get down to it, is that what's good for the goose is good for the gander. But every now and again she'll say, well, hey, hang on a minute. Before you get all half-cocked. Didn't you just get through preaching the other day? You have all time for her to be listening. See, that's how we are. But God bless her for pointing it out. You know, after she points one of those things out, my problem's not with her or anybody else. My problem now is going to be with the word of the Lord. See? In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, there's a passage over there in the book of Matthew chapter 10. And I want you to turn there if you don't mind. In the book of Matthew chapter number 10, and it's about verse number 32. And we'll take time to look at it just for a second. Matthew in chapter number 10, about verse number 32. In the passage that's there that we're looking at, here's what he says in verse number 32 of chapter number 10. Here's what he says in the passage. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. If you're a child of God, your very lip, your very life ought to be preaching to others. Whether you ever open up or not, they ought to be able to tell by the way you talk and how you walk and all that you've been with Jesus Christ. Look in verse number 33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. I'm going to tell you, Jesus didn't come to send peace. He came to send a sword. He came to do some dividing. And let me say to you that, if you will, that when God's done something real in my heart or your heart, it's a witness that others can see. Did you know that when God's done something real in your heart, other men can see it? Listen, other women, other children, they can see it. Your family can see it. And make no mistake about it, your enemies around about you, they can see it too. And I got to tell you right now is, but more than all of them together, the Lord sees it. If you're a child of God, I'm going to tell you something. I've had people, you know, I talked to on the job back when I first got saved. And, you know, everybody you meet out there is religious of some sort or another. And as a result of that, you know, they've always got some kind of an argument that they want to be able to put up with you. And I'm going to tell you is that a bad thing goes to sounding too good to you if you're not careful. I've noticed something about this heathen crowd. They'll blaspheme the very name of the Lord. And one of these days down the road, though you know it's wrong now and don't let it influence you now, down the road you keep on seeing it, you keep on them bombarding you with it, you keep on, and it ain't long until one of these days some of that same thinking crosses your mind. See? I want to say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, I just want my children and my church people to know there's a difference between just being religious and made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. Now watch this here. You're thinking, well, you know, it's not going to bother me that way. And all you boys and girls, you know, that are growing up and growing right along. Let me tell you something. Is that, do you remember there was a man by the name of Samson? And if you read over there in the book of Judges, but Judges about chapter number 16, you know, he didn't just lose all of his energy and all of his strength there in a flash. I mean, day by day, old Delilah kept on bombarding him with it, kept on tempting him with it. Of course, you know, there's in the Old Testament there, he certainly wasn't in the will of God, certainly wasn't right, went down there to Zorah, finally went down there, and ended up in the lap of Delilah, who was a harlot. And buddy, she not only must have been good looking, but I guarantee you right now, she had the tongue of a snake and the heart of a devil. Now, those men knew exactly who they could hire to do their dirty work. I mean, how'd you like to try to tackle old Samson with an army? I mean, he took a jawbone of an ass and slew 1,000. That's a pretty rough customer there. Do you realize, though, that if you just had the jawbone of an ass and tried to swing it and hit a punch and bang, you couldn't hit it 1,000 times. Not without resting. And if you could, I've got some things I need for you to do. I said all that to be able to say this, is that day by day, it kept bombing. And that's what happened to you if you're not careful. I tell all these little girls and boys in here, and listen, if you're a girl worth your salt, and we've got a lot of them, some young man wants to go out with you, he's going to want to kiss you. And if you go to letting one kiss, it'll be two. And the first thing you know, three. And the next thing, you'll be past the point of no return. I'm not telling you it's not wrong. It's not wrong for you to want to be kissed. It's just wrong for you to give in to those temptations, because it's going to get worse and worse, you see. You'll be glad you listened to me one of these days. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, when old Samson finally was sold into the hands of the Philistines, they made sport of him, they mocked him, they made fun of him. And let me tell you what sin does in your life. It causes the false world to exalt their name of their gods that are false because of the fact that they were able to pull you down off your high horse. I want to say to you that, if you will, that you may be here tonight, and yet you're not. You may be here, and where you ought to listen, and I ought to learn something so I can pass it down to my children, to my grandchildren, to church children. I got to tell you, one of these days we're going to leave this world behind. You know why you ought to be attentive when you come to the house of God? So you can preach the same thing to your family and acquaintances that you come in contact with, and that you can pass it on down the line to your children and so forth and on, and grandchildren as we go through life. Nobody wants to ever die without the Lord. Do you ever notice that you can go to a funeral, the worst drunk, worst womanizer, the worst dope head, the worst lie, cheat, connive, you can go to their funeral, and somebody up there is going to eulogize them and talk about, you know, what a good brother this was, or what a good sister this was, and so forth and on. I got to tell you, I'm glad God's in the forgiving business. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how far down in the gutter you've become. God can reach farther down than you'll ever reach up. And he'll cleanse you white as snow and make you fit for his kingdom and the service of the Lord. But I got to tell you, if you want to pass something on to these children and these grandchildren that are coming along, then you better not just be here, but your mind somewhere else. You better be here and your mind in the Word of the Lord. I want something from God when I come to the house of God. And all that business there, and I don't want to leave, and whenever I do leave, I certainly don't want to be snappy, rude, mean, insulting, ugly. God bless both of you. See? And so somebody said, have you ever done that? I practice what I preach. And I've been all of that. How do you think I know that so well? I mean, you can walk out of the pulpit and have the touch of God all over you. Had a good time at the house of God, and the devil get on you before you get too far down the road. See? Now, some of you looking like you're in shock, and that your wife told me, and hey, ladies, thank you for filling me in on your husbands. And it just, I got some blanks filled in. No, they wasn't at it all. I know all that by experience, I'm sad to say. But I'm glad God's in the forgiving business. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. We thank you now for the Word of God, the Spirit of God, to lead us, guide us, and direct us into all the truth. That Word is the truth. Yes. Now I pray you would go with us to our home. Help us now that we might use our lip and our life to show others what it means to be born into the family of God.